today on Real Radio.
If you're following Jesus because of your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter, or because it's what the American thing to do, which it's probably not the American thing to do anymore to follow Jesus, then I don't know what to tell you, but I am so grateful this morning, church, that we are not following some made-up story. My faith's founded upon fact. What's your faith founded upon?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 2, continues a series called Who Told You? Oftentimes, our doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture actually reveals. In Part 1 of this lesson, Pastor Jack talks about how he sees three aspects of what we might call heaven. There's our atmosphere, where the birds fly above the trees and where the clouds are formed, a majestic scene that often prompts us to worship our God who created it. The second heaven is where the sun, the moon, and the stars are, and they declare the glory of God, because the slightest disruption can affect the entire universe. And then there's the third heaven, which is God's dwelling place. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us more about the heaven that is forever. And death, which was once our terror, becomes, for the believer, the very stepping stone that brings us to our eternity in heaven. And now, continuing his lesson called Who Told You About Heaven, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, begins there, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father and with His angels, and then there will reward each according to his works." Accordingly, he says, "I say to you that there are some standing here." Remember, Jesus was in Galilee. The disciples were around him and a huge crowd. "And there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming." By the way, the word coming, you ought to circle that. The word means to appear, to be present, to behold, to resort to his kingdom. Jesus said, the kingdom's coming, judgment's coming, the end is coming, but that's later. However, there are some of you standing with me right now, you will see the kingdom come. And by the way, a lot of sloppy Bible readers and students of the Bible get all messed up about that, and they say, "Oh, wow, that means everything concluded back then. Book of Revelation is over. It happened 2,000 years ago because of what Jesus says right here." No, that is not proper Bible study nor reading. The Bible keeps going and says, for example, in Matthew chapter 17, look, very next verse. Remember, the original Bible's got no chapter breaks. Verse 1, "Now after 6 days," what, 6 days after he said what he just said, "Jesus took Peter, James, and John." I'm grateful for these three. Don't think these guys are super saints. I think these were the three guys that were slower than the rest of the other guys. He always has to take these three guys away to reveal to them what it seems as though the other guys knew. So Jesus is thinking, "I'm going to go away. I'm going to go talk to my father. Peter, James, John, you better come with me." Isn't it great? So it says he led them up to a high mountain. I'm going to show you a picture of that, by the way. That high mountain, I have no doubt, there's only one high mountain in Israel, and that's Mount Hermon. He took them up to the high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured. What is that? The future king and his kingdom was happening right before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. This is, by the way, the post, think about it. He hasn't even been crucified yet, but because he's entering into eternity at this moment, this is a post-resurrection glorified description of Christ. "And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them." Isn't that amazing? Talking with him, Jesus. "Then Peter answered," which is hilarious, because who asked him anything? Nobody asked Peter a thing, but Peter starts talking. "And he said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. It's Mark's gospel, by the way, that says that Peter said this because he didn't know what to say, so he said something. While he was still speaking, verse 5, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. That is the Shekinah, the glory of God. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. What happened? The kingdom of God in a moment was manifested to Peter, James, and John in an instant. And what happened? Christ, God in flesh, standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, speaking. The Bible tells us in another place that Moses and Elijah spoke to Christ about his suffering, his death, and his coming resurrection. And they saw, that is, Peter, James, and John saw the glory of the kingdom to come, fulfilling the words that Jesus spoke a few verses earlier. Those three saw the glory of God in the kingdom, all wrapped up into one. It was awesome. Peter, later on in life, he's an old man now. Peter, later on in life, writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables. I'm so glad about this. You know, listen, I don't know why you're a Christian today or why you're following Jesus, but I sure hope it's the same reason that Peter says that we're not following Jesus for some cunningly devised story that's been made up. If you're following Jesus because of your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter, or because it's what the American thing to do, which it's probably not the American thing to do anymore to follow Jesus, then I don't know what to tell you, but I am so grateful this morning, church, that we are not following some made-up story. People love to drop the line, oh, blind faith, nothing. My faith's founded upon fact. What's your faith founded upon? My faith is scientifically provable. My faith is archaeologically provable. My faith is mathematically provable. My faith is go on and on, linguistically. Go on and on. God called us not to check our brains out at the door and come into church. He's asked us to think and to reason. And Peter says, our faith's not founded on fables, but when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That is the reference to the transfiguration. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Isn't that awesome? Heaven. It's where you're going. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew 10, verse 1 and Matthew 10, verse 7. Listen. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christian, listen, a lot of people want to talk about, well, how come we don't see all this stuff happening in our town or in our community? Listen, number one, God will do whatever God wants to do. Miracles are happening all over the globe. What's interesting, as it was in the days of Israel, so it's happening in various parts of the world today. The Bible tells us that when the gospel is preached to a people who do not know the word, signs and wonders confirm the preaching of the word. Don't ever let signs and wonders happen and then people make up the word to back up the signs and wonders. That's how you get deceived. The word is preached, and then the power of God backs up the word preached. And you say, well, what isn't happening here? I went and prayed for my brother at UCI, and he wasn't resurrected. Listen, God does it, and sometimes God doesn't do it. Here's the point. The issue is to get people to the Word of God. Amen. And I don't know if you're following what's going on in various parts of China, North Korea, by the way. Pray for the Christians in North Korea. Most dangerous place on earth to be a Christian, North Korea. But look what's happening with the Islamic world, from Indonesia all the way to Syria and Afghanistan and Iraq. Look what Muslims are saying. By the way, by possibly by confessing this, sealing their own fate. Jesus spoke to me. Jesus arrived. I saw Jesus. This Christian prayed. This person was healed instantly. It was in the name of Jesus. I became a Christian. This is happening all over the world. Listen, you don't need to see a sign and wonder to believe. You need to believe in God's word. That's his thrust. Do you believe in what he has said? Be very careful about that. Heaven. And then look, our final push today is what has God said about heaven is that heaven that is forever. This is what you're like, you think of heaven. It's like, yes, this is it. And look, I agree with you, but I got to tell you, if you guys want to have some fun all fall and winter long, by the way, I've had enough, this is enough winter for me just today. This is it, okay? I woke up this morning and it was 63 degrees in my house. And I think it was like 50 something outside, and I thought, that's it. The end of the world draweth nigh. But if you want to have a tremendous fall and winter, I commend to you a study. Do a word study on heaven. It will take you the entire 3 months or 4 months, whatever. It will be a joy because you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out things you never thought of before regarding heaven. In fact, it's so vast and amazing about the heaven that is forever that brilliant scholars throughout history get in arguments about what aspect of these things will be taking place regarding heaven. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me first tell you, I don't know the answer to those great debates by great theologians. Here's the fun part. I don't care for this reason. They talk about a future heaven, and it seems to me that their mistake is they're all trying to define the tip of a pen instead of the vastness of the scope. For example, are you ready for this? For example, and it's all true. All these things are true. Heaven is, one will say, heaven is a city. And it gives the dimensions in the Bible, which it does. And it gives you the colors of the stones and the gates and the layout and the names that are written. And it does. Then there's descriptions about a river flowing. And then it gives a description about nations, which throws some of us for a loop. I didn't think about nations in heaven. It talks about heaven being created and a new earth, which is interesting. I know we won't be disappointed, but there won't be an ocean. There won't be a sea. It's like, well, how do you go to the beach? Somehow, you will not be disappointed. This is the most difficult thing of all. We eat, but apparently we never get fat. How cool is that? But no, it says we eat and we drink, we worship, we praise. Interesting, one great scholar said, to some degree or lesser degree, we travel. And I thought, no, weirdo, that's weird, travel. Nah, I don't get. And he simply said this. He said, it says that we go in and out through the gates of the city. Okay, I can handle that. But when he talked about heaven, this is true. It's immeasurable. In the scope of heaven, there is a city that is suspended over or rests upon or barely a new earth. A new creation, a spiritual world that transcends what you and I have ever known, a world that you and I in our existence can only flirt with right now by dreams or some sort of sense or some sort of discernment. We get a little glimpse of a spiritual realm, something whereby we begin to entertain. And listen, what is amazing about what I'm talking about, and I mentioned it last week, but it was to get to this. Nobody understands this more in an increasing level of awareness than the Christian. While the rest of the world is lamenting the fact that it is getting older, looking for the so-called fountain of youth. People who do not have the hope of heaven are worried about getting older. They're terrified about getting older. They're terrified of death. The believer understands that the heaven that awaits us through Jesus Christ, death itself that was once our terror becomes the very tool that sets us free into his kingdom for all eternity. Death becomes a stepping stone of victory to the believer. Jesus crushed the power of the grave, broke it completely, devastated. That thing that gripped the heart of man forever was shattered. Jesus rose from the dead. And remember, his first words in his ministry was, "Follow me." And aren't you glad? I see Jesus rising from the dead, and he tells the women, "Tell the disciples to follow me into the Galilee. There I'll meet them." Jesus says to you today, "Follow me," and you're going to hear him again at the moment of your death. I believe the first words you'll hear is Jesus saying, "Follow me. Come up here." This week, if you didn't know Brian, you'd know who he is. Tall, handsome man, beautiful white hair. Brian went to be with Jesus this week. And I reminded them at the bed. I said, "Listen, everybody," and I'm holding his hand. I said, "Listen." And it was great. He was very alert. He was very awake. I said, "Y'all need to understand something. And by the way, if you're sick, if I get the phone call to come see you, I get two responses. Pastor Jack, hi, it's great to see you. Or Pastor Jack, I didn't know I was that sick. You know, it's like I'm showing up in a cloak with a dagger or something. Here comes the reaper. No, but this house loved the Lord and all. And I reminded them, I said, we need to get something real straight right here, right now. Brian that we love is not sick. Brian does not have cancer. His body has cancer. Let's remember that. His body has cancer. His spirit's not sick. There's no cancer in his spirit. His spirit's locked inside this body, soon to be a carcass. Just exactly as the Bible said, soon. Listen, the real Brian was waiting to get out. Let's go, let's go. My mom's last words with her head on my Aunt Betty's lap. She looked at my Aunt Betty and she said, "What is taking him so long?" And then she died. I hope she didn't get in trouble for questioning God like that, but no, I think he heard her and he said, "You're right, I'm here now, let's go." Listen, Christian, this is important. You and I pass from this world into the next and just flip it completely on its head. Everything seemingly that you and I do in this life seems to be so stinking physical all the time. I'm tired of it, aren't you? That's one great thing about getting old. It's like this. You go to the mall or you go to Universal Studios, you certainly go to Disneyland and you say, "This is a joke." You know what I'm saying? There are no mice that big. And the only thing goofy here is the price I had to pay to get into this mouse trap. Unhappiest place on earth should be the sign over that thing for those who have to pay. Listen, this world is so physical. It's all about it. What do you look like? What do you feel like? How's that? Ooh, what's your persona? What kind of car do you have? What are you wearing? And it's just sick. And we battle it. As Christians, we battle it all the time. All the time. Just remember, it's all fleeting, it's all rotten, it's all going away. Heaven's forever. Are you going to heaven? It's forever. That's where you're really going to go. And every night you lay your head down at night and you dream maybe a dream. And you ever think about that? You think about, have you ever had a dream that seemed real? Have you ever had a dream when you wake up? I don't know about you, is it just me? But have you ever had a dream where like a lion is chasing you through the streets? Have you ever had those? No? Okay, somebody analyze me then. It's just me. And it's just a dream. And you wake up and you're going, you know? Forgive me. I'm a weirdo. I love to fly. I love to fly. And in my, I have so many dreams like this where I don't know why. I'm always on a street. I see a street. This is too much information. I don't know why, but I have a t-shirt on. I always take my t-shirt off and I hold it over my head like this and I start running down the street and I start taking off. And I'm like going over, down through, flying around town, over your house, cruising around. And it's just so cool. And then I wake up and I'm so bummed that I woke up. Have you ever had a dream where you're bummed that you woke up? Who are you when you're dreaming? Who is that? Listen, that's your consciousness. Never sleeps. It's the spirit of who you are. What are you going to do when you die? Because you die physically, but you don't die on the inside. Where are you going? You're going to wake up in heaven or you're going to wake up in hell. There's no middle ground. There's no middle earth. So says the Bible. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has planted eternity in the human heart. Did you know that? You can be an atheist right here this morning or watching right now and you're an atheist and you say, this is a joke. Oh yeah, then why do you struggle with eternity in your heart? Every one of us, every human struggles with eternity in the heart. The Christian is like, yes. But do you remember before we were Christians? There was always that fear. There was always that thought of forever after death. If you don't believe in God, you're lying to yourself. And if you think you're not concerned about eternity, I know, I'm old enough to know, you're fooling yourself, but not really. It is a serious issue. And God says, I put eternity, I put the concern of it, I put the thought of it, I put the imagination of it in your heart. Because eternity is forever. We're going to be fitted for heaven, Christian, because of Jesus' resurrection. Death is the means. Death becomes a tool. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house... Look at this. I love this. Have you ever lived in a tent? I mean, you're about to move over to a tent for about 5 months. And when that sanctuary tent is done, you're going to be very happy to come back in here. Camping's great for 3 days. For we know that if our earthly house, Paul says, calls it a tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. He talks about the new body as a building from God. A house not made with hands. That's human hands. Eternal in the heavens. You get a spacesuit for heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Who Told You About Heaven? Part 2. Thanks for listening. And you know, God made heaven for our ultimate fulfillment, but the only way to get there is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Who Told You About Heaven? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of His church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, you know, around here at Real Radio, we work real hard to provide tools and resources to help you grow in your walk with God. And we think you're really going to like the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. It gives you tons of resources right there at your fingertips. This ministry, quite frankly, values your time, and hopefully you do too. So why don't you use some of that time with the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? Tons of video and content available for you, like the Real Life TV broadcast, the Real Radio daily audio broadcasts, and Pastor Jack's weekly devotions right there. I hope you already have the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet, but if you don't, go to your app store and get it, the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.